Wednesday night, I am the Solemn Monster, and this is your AEW Dynamite review for Wednesday, January 12, 2022. I am the Solemn Monster. Hey, Cody's back next week. You know, the TNT champion, the guy who missed 1 week to where we had to crown an interim TNT champion. He's already back next week. We have the TNT title, interim TNT title, on the line in the main event. Daniel Garcia, who, I got to tell you, you know, we hear about all of these AEW pillars, right? We hear about all of the young pillars in AEW. We hear about Darby Allin, and we hear about MJF, and we hear about Britt Baker, all these different people, Sammy Guevara. Got to talk about Daniel Garcia. I think he's got more main events on TV than all of them. He had another one tonight, one-on-one. Good match in the main event with Sammy Guevara. Turned into an overbooked mess at the end. But I thought the match itself was good. Lance Archer is back. Good to see him back after he hurt his neck a couple of months ago. He showed up tonight to step up and take out the world champion Hangman Page, who was looking for a new challenger. I thought for sure tonight was going to be the night that we saw Jon Moxley. Jon Moxley is going to be wrestling at the Hammerstein Ballroom in just a couple of weeks for GCW. I would be very surprised if he showed up in GCW before he came back to AEW. No Jon Moxley on the show tonight, maybe next week. But Lance Archer came out in that spot, and he took out Hangman Page, and that then teases the next championship match that we're going to be getting here in AEW. Brody King, a name that has been bandied about now for a few weeks, someone who I have been waiting and expecting. I think most people have been expecting him to make his debut. Did, in fact, make his AEW debut. I believe that makes him the second Ring of Honor star after Jay Lethal, since Ring of Honor basically, you know, temporarily shut down, to make his way over to AEW. Showed up tonight to help out his PWG tag team partner, Malakai Black, who Jim Ross did slip up at one point and call Aleister Black. Then again, Jim Ross also in the main, and I love JR, but, you know, they had just run down the card for next week and announced that Cody Rhodes was going to be back. And then during the main event, Sammy and Daniel Garcia, they were talking about this whole interim TNT title situation, and Jim Ross was saying, yeah, but we don't know when Cody is coming back. You just ran down the card. I think JR is, you know, they were in North Carolina tonight, and JR's been through a lot, so we cut him some slack. But he does hang out a lot in the sun. And he's got a house now in Jacksonville. Maybe he spends a little too much time in the sun. Maybe it's getting to him. I don't know. CM Punk and MJF, their feud continued in the form of a match tonight, Punk and Wardlow. It was never about Punk and Wardlow. It was all about Punk and MJF, and furthering their feud, and furthering the tension between MJF and Wardlow, which reached a fever pitch tonight. One of the only things really on this show that this crowd and rally really responded to in a big way, and sounded like they were ready to blow the roof off the place if tonight was the night that Wardlow was going to knock MJF into the middle of next week. We're going to have to wait a little bit longer. I already see a lot of divided opinion about the match and the finish. And I will tell you that I thought the best thing they did on the show tonight was what they did with Punk and MJF and Wardlow. And I'm going to tell you why. I enjoyed that. And I thought it was very well done what they did. But as I look back on the show as a whole, it was a good show. It was not a great show. And I feel like I enjoyed that first hour a lot more than I did hour number two. That was kind of my sense of it. The show was good. It had its moments. I enjoyed seeing Brody King, but not the strongest episode of Dynamite that they've done recently. Anyway, thank you for choosing me for your Dynamite coverage. We're going to get into this whole show. We got a couple of news and notes, too, to get into here in a second. I have added a bunch of super chats for those of you who have been asking. You'll find all the dollar amounts listed in the description below. Yeah, the Paul Heyman tongue one, the 1992 Rumble one, and the Bratty Solemn Monster Jell-O Pop Meltdown. Yes, you asked for it. It is now a super chat. Again, everything is listed down below. Ask and you shall receive. I will be reading through them a little bit later. I want to talk about Tony Schiavone. You know, we were talking about Jim Ross. Let me just mention Tony Schiavone here up front, because Tony Schiavone, who has been with AEW since day one, back in 2019, they signed him to a contract. And we found out this week that Tony Schiavone's contract has been picked up for a two-year extension. So he is going to be sticking around. I don't think anybody is surprised by this. He seems as happy as he's ever been in his career. And they use him a lot. What would they do without Tony Schiavone? The guy's doing multiple interviews on the show, in the back, earlier in the day, in the ring. He's commentating. He's doing commentary on Dark Elevation. He's doing everything. He does these event center updates for them on their social media. I think he still co-hosts their Unrestricted podcast. He does it all. So it's good to hear that Tony's going to be sticking around for at least another couple of years. The other thing that I thought was very cool, and, you know, for all of the social media bullshit that we all see it, especially on Twitter. Twitter is an absolute cancerous platform. You try to use it for good, and I think a lot of us are addicted to it in some way. A lot of us get news from Twitter. News hits Twitter before it hits some actual news outlet. So Twitter can be a tool for good, but a lot of times Twitter is a very evil platform, or at least the people on it, I find. There's a lot of really evil, fucking annoying people on there. However, today, we got a happy tweet. We got a happy tweet from Tony Schiavone, and I wanted to put it up on screen here. He posted this earlier. I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina today, and got together with my former TBS partner, David Crockett, and the longtime voice of Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling, Bob Caudle. My fandom of watching wrestling began with David and Bob behind the mic, and there he is. Yeah, I had forgotten about Bob Caudle. I hadn't really heard about him, and I knew he was still alive. I don't know how old he must be. But that's a great photo. And especially if you, and I'm not someone who actually grew up as a young fan watching Mid-Atlantic. You know, the first announcers I heard were not Bob Caudle or David Crockett or Jim Ross or Tony Schiavone. It was Vince McMahon and Jesse Ventura and Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan. But those three guys right there were the voices for a lot of wrestling fans' childhoods. And so to see them all doing well and see them all together in that photo, and Bob looks good. Again, he's got to be, I'm guessing, he's got to be in his 90s by now. 80s at least, but he might be in his 90s. But anyway, that's a very cool photo. That is the happy social media moment of the day right there. So I wanted to share that with everybody. Apparently, I'm being told that I am pronouncing, is it Raleigh? It's not Rally, it's Raleigh. Am I being corrected in my pronunciation of Raleigh? Just like I was corrected by all of you in my mispronunciation for so many years. Instead of calling him Mario, I was calling him Super Mario. Well, that's what he is. He's Super Mario. Anyway, the show opened tonight with Adam Cole and Red Dragon. They were out to open the show for story time with Adam Cole. And Adam Cole pointed out that since coming to AEW, he has yet to be pinned. He has yet to be made to submit. Young Bucks interrupted. Matt Jackson said that he kicked COVID's ass in 2 days. Now they're back, and he was very offended that there was no invitation extended to them by Cole and by Fish and by O'Reilly to join them on the show tonight. So the Bucks said that their New Year's resolution was to get back their AEW tag team titles. And Kyle O'Reilly said that they had the same resolution. He and Bobby Fish have the exact same New Year's resolution. They too want to be AEW tag team champions. And Adam Cole said, see, there's nothing better than some friendly competition. And everybody cheered. And Fish and O'Reilly said that there's no other team that's going to stand between those titles and them, including the Bucks. That's when Best Friends interrupted, along with Orange Cassidy and Wheeler Yuta. They came out. Cassidy had a mic in his hand when Cole started asking him, what could you possibly have to say that anybody would care about? And he barely finished getting the words out. Cassidy double-legged him, took him down. And everybody started fighting. They all brawled outside the ring. Cole delivered a low blow to Cassidy. Out comes Chris Statlander, part of the best friend. She comes down to the ring to confront Adam Cole. And as this is happening, that brings out Britt Baker. The AEW Women's Champion brings her out to a big pop. She attacks Statlander from behind, gave her a curb stomp, and then held Cassidy up for Cole to hit a super kick, and then he hit the boo. The big knee strike to the back of the head. And when Cole leaned in for the Bucks to come in and give him the kiss on the cheek, Britt Baker stepped in the way and said, "I got this." And she planted a wet one on Adam Cole. In the back later on, there was another segment with Cole, Fish, O'Reilly, the Bucks. I almost said Fish and Chips. Fish tells you where my mind is. I'm fucking hungry right now. The Bucks. Brandon Cutler was filming. Britt Baker was there. And Baker said that she was extending the invitation to a challenge for Dynamite next Wednesday to a mixed tag team match. It would be her and Adam Cole against Orange Cassidy and Chris Statlander. And that's great and all. That's all well and good. But what I want is Red Dragon against the Young Bucks. That's what I'm waiting for. That's going to be an excellent match. So I thought this was fine. Again, more often than not, AEW opens their shows with a match and not a promo. I mean, they've done it a couple of times before, but they don't abuse it, you know, the way WWE does. So I at least appreciate that. And then we get into CM Punk and Wardlow. They did not close out the show. And you could see why based on how this ended here. In fact, it was the first match of the night. Now, before we get into the match and everything, I did say that there were some news and notes. And one of those news and notes concerns Wardlow. Now, WrestleVotes on Twitter, which has posted stuff in the past that has seemed and turned out to be fairly reliable, doesn't mean that everything they post, you know, becomes truth or anything, but WrestleVotes has some credibility in my book. So when they post something, I pay attention to what they have to say. And one tweet that they posted today caught my attention. This is what WrestleVotes tweeted earlier today. Here, on the very day that Wardlow was scheduled for the biggest match of his life against CM Punk, this is what WrestleVotes said. "With his biggest match to date happening tonight, I can confirm without hesitation that WWE will be extremely interested in luring Wardlow away from AEW when his contract expires or his contract is due. There are several people within World Wrestling Entertainment that love his potential." Now, I didn't need WrestleVotes to tell me that. I would have expected that WWE would look at a guy who looks like Wardlow, well-spoken, carries himself well. He can work. It's not like he's just a big stiff who can't do anything. They would be fools not to look at him and say, "Hey, that's somebody that we could do something with," right? Wardlow did an interview with PW Insider this week in preparing for tonight's Dynamite. They sent him out to do some, you know, some media. So he gave an interview to Mike Johnson. And I want to read you one excerpt from the interview, which ties into what we're talking about here. This is what Wardlow had to say to PW Insider about wanting to be a lifer in AEW. "In 10 or 20 years, I am going to be so excited and proud to look back and say that I was one of the AEW originals. And that means so much to me because my career started, obviously. I did some indies, but the world didn't know me. As far as the world knows, my career started with AEW. And it's going to end with AEW. And I look forward to accomplishing and growing as much as humanly possible and reaching the stars throughout the next 10 years. AEW made my lifelong wildest dreams come true. Tony Khan gave me that. Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega gave me that. The way people are treated there, the schedule, I am so beyond blessed that I don't think there's any convincing me that the grass is greener on the other side. Very, very happy with AEW and the way I'm treated and just how the whole company is run head to toe." So that is from Wardlow. And I will say, people have said stuff like that before. Oh, you know, the grass is green. The grass can always be greener. If WWE really wants somebody, they have the means to throw as much money as they want. Of course, Tony Khan is also a billionaire, and he could also throw as much money as he wants. He could dip into his own trust fund if he wants to, which makes things a little more interesting because we haven't had that in a very long time. We haven't had that in over 20 years. When was the last time Vince McMahon, his closest competition, was another billionaire? Dixie Carter wasn't a billionaire. Her father may have been a billionaire, but as we saw, TNA did not have unlimited financial resources. But whatever budget AEW is on, if Tony Khan wants to keep somebody, if it's all about money, he'll keep them. And Wardlow, otherwise, money aside, seems very happy where he is in AEW, and he's got every right to be if he feels he's treated well right now. Wardlow has made as many consecutive appearances on television as he has at any other point during his career. You know, guys will appear. We saw Powerhouse Hobbs tonight. We don't see Hobbs every week. We don't see Hobbs enough. But we'll see him 1 week, and then we won't see him in the ring again for another 4 weeks, right? It's very inconsistent. Wardlow has been on television, I think, every single week now for at least the last 2 or 3 months. He's been racking up wins. He's been powerbombing guys. And we know where this is going. We know what they're building to. And I have said for the longest time, going back to early last year, maybe even earlier than that, that when the day comes that Wardlow breaks up with MJF and pummels this kid into the ground, people are going to come unglued, and you're going to have one of the biggest baby faces in AEW on your hands in Wardlow. And every week that goes by, we're getting a little bit closer and a little bit closer and a little bit closer to that. Shout out to Tyrone Dunston for becoming a Sound Off Superstar, our newest channel member. Welcome. Dunston checks in to the stream here. I love it. So Wardlow right now is in the driver's seat in AEW. The sky's the limit for him. He can be a world champion in this company one day. WWE can have all the interest they want to, but the likelihood of Wardlow going anywhere, never say none. Slim. Slim to none. And that's good, because as you'll see from the what I put in the ticker down below, WWE is just waiting to take that S&M mask that they were using for Karrion Kross. Now they fired him. They have nobody who can wear this mask, and they're going to want to put that mask on somebody, and that mask may end up on Wardlow. So if I were Wardlow, I would stay right where I am. We don't need no S&M mask on him. Hey, Hulk Hogan! Hulk Hogan! Just upgraded his membership from Sound Off Superstar to Sound Off Legend. You are a legend, my friend. So MJF was out first. He came to the ring with Wardlow to be in his corner. Wardlow, early on, showing off his strength, going into first commercial break, picture in picture. He was working over Punk's back all throughout the break. When they came back, Wardlow went for a power bomb, but Punk slipped out, came at him with a series of clotheslines, could not take him down, though. Springboard clothesline from Punk, though, did finally take Wardlow off his feet for the first time in the match. Punk comes into the corner. He does that running knee strike, holds on to the guy, right before he goes for the running bulldog. But before he went for the bulldog, he looked outside at MJF and he flipped him off. But that little hesitation there, that little distraction was all the time that Wardlow needed to pick this fucker up and to give him a powerbomb. And he powerbombs Punk out of the corner. Wardlow, that's one. Wardlow then gives him a second powerbomb. And then a third. And then a fourth. And then a fifth. This is the way he's been finishing off people on TV. He's been powerbombing them 4 or 5 times in a row. Right? He's been beating guys left and right. He's undefeated in recent weeks. Until tonight. He's been undefeated. So he had Punk dead to rights. When he went for the pin, MJF jumps up on the apron and basically breaks up the pin. He's yelling at Wardlow. No, 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 no. No. He doesn't want to see the match end there. So Wardlow gets up, interrupts the pin, does MJF, and MJF wants Wardlow to punish him a little bit more. He wants this guy to be fucking maimed. So Wardlow gets up, Punk for a 6th power bomb, nails it. MJF shouts, again, do it again. Then came power bomb number 7. Punk at this point, all he can do is roll out onto the apron. Punk is in a bad way. Wardlow goes outside to go over to the part of the apron where Punk is laying. MJF is also outside. And MJF clears off the timekeeper's table. He tells Wardlow, I want you to powerbomb him through the table. And Wardlow is showing some hesitation here. Like, what are you making me do? But he does it. He grabs Punk and he powerbombs him through the timekeeper's table, which was not a disqualification. Boy, they hate disqualifications in this company. They really don't like doing DQs in this company. So instead, Punk is laying there in the rubble. Wardlow gets back into the ring. Aubrey Edwards is going to start her count. She begins a very slow 10 count. Now Punk is slowly crawling out of the rubble. MJF is out there on his hands and knees yelling at Punk and taunting him and egging him on. And Punk is slowly trying to crawl his way back to the ring. This guy's been powerbombed 8 times. And Aubrey is counting. And just as Aubrey gets to 9, Punk jumps back into the ring just in the nick of time. So MJF jumps up on the apron and he's yelling at Wardlow, do it again. Powerbomb him again. You know, who do you think pays you? Who signs your checks? Me. Pay him again or powerbomb him again. And then pay him. So he powerbombs him again. Or gets him in position for a powerbomb, I should say. When Wardlow goes for the powerbomb, though, Punk cradles him. The inside cradle. And he gets the 3 count. So they did the Diesel Bret Hart finish. Kind of a takeoff. Not exactly, but a takeoff on the Diesel Bret Hart finish from Survivor Series in 95. Because when he went to go powerbomb him, Punk was like dead weight. I mean, the guy was half dead. And then when he went to go powerbomb him, he got cradled and he got pinned. And remember when Diesel sat up from that pin at Survivor Series and the camera zoomed in. We didn't see this tonight. But I will never forget the camera zooming in on Diesel as he sat there and shouted the word, or mouthed the word, motherfucker. He was not happy about that. And then he powerbombed the shit out of Bret Hart. You want to see, excuse me, one of the best powerbombs that I've ever seen. It literally is one of my favorite powerbombs that I've ever seen. Is the powerbomb that Diesel gave to Bret when that match was over. Just the height, the way he picked him up. It's like he almost botched it. Like he picked him up too quickly. But I always love it. He kind of held him up there for a second and then just let him fall. And it just made such a thud. Even Mr. Perfect on commentary reacted to it. It was so great. But this was kind of a takeoff of that finish. When the match was over, MJF, he was very upset. And he called for them to stop playing Punk's music. And he gets up in Wardlow's face. And he's shouting at this guy. He starts putting his finger in Wardlow's chest. And Wardlow, you can see he's getting angrier. He's getting angrier. There's one of the new super chats, by the way. Paul Heyman never looked so good. That's Heyman. That's Roman. Right? That's Hulk Reigns. And that's Brock Savage, which somebody pointed out when I mentioned that the other night. Brock Savage is actually a fucking cool name for a wrestler. So, hey, I'm just putting it out there in the universe. Anybody who wants to take that name on. Brock Savage, you got a fan in me. But anyway, so Wardlow looks like he's about to explode, right? He's about reached his breaking point of taking this guy's shit. And the fans so badly want him to just pounce this guy. They want him to pounce this fucker into the ground. Sean Spears comes out. Wardlow's accountability buddy. And he comes out to try to cool things down. Wardlow thinks better of it. And he leaves the ring. And Sean Spears follows Wardlow. MJF follows Spears. So they all leave. And the big turn is going to have to wait for another day. But boy, the fans were ready to explode. If tonight was the night that Wardlow finally did what people have been waiting for him to do for a year and a half. But they're going to milk it a little bit more, as they should. Gonna milk it a little bit more. But that was a great moment. Punk was still down on the outside. As far as the finish and what they did here, you had to see it coming. I thought this whole thing was well done. Predictable though it may have been. I think that the way this all played out was fine. And I have no issue with it. You know, people are gonna say, oh, the roll up, you know, you always talk about roll ups. In this case, it worked. See, this is the problem. The problem is that when you see a finish that is abused over and over and over again. It's like I was just talking about disqualifications, right? And why was Wardlow not disqualified? Right? It didn't happen in the ring, but still, he took Punk and he powerbombed him through a table on the outside, right? In a normal course of a match, that would be, or should be anyway, a disqualification, but it wasn't. AEW does not like doing DQs. And I appreciate that because we see so many of them, right, in WWE. But there are times where a countout or a disqualification is okay. There are certain situations where you can do a finish like that as long as you don't abuse it and do it over and over and over and over and over again. One of the reasons I like this finish, it protected Wardlow. Because I was wondering, would they give Wardlow the win? Well, that would be a mistake. I would not have had Wardlow beat CM Punk tonight, even though it would have been a big win for him. The first person to beat CM Punk should be MJF. I would not have Punk lose until he gets in the ring for that first match with MJF, probably at Revolution. So I did not want to see Wardlow win, but I also didn't want to see Punk just knee him in the face and pin him because they've been doing a very good job of him squashing guys every week. He's getting like the Goldberg push. And then to just have him lose to CM Punk would have cooled him off a little bit. So what do you do? Do you do a draw? Do you do a DQ? I like what they did tonight because Wardlow dominated this match. Wardlow had this fucking guy dead to rights. And everybody who watched this match tonight knows that. He powerbombed this guy time after time after time, over and over and over again. He could have beaten him at any moment. And the only reason he didn't is because MJF got involved in the match and stopped him from doing it. And he got a lot of heat for it, too. I didn't know how the crowd was going to react. I thought as Wardlow kept powerbombing Punk, they were going to be like, one more time. But no, they were fans of Punk. And every time MJF said, give him another one, they booed. I mean, this guy got a lot of heat for doing that. So it worked on all fronts. It kept Punk unbeaten a little bit longer. It established that Wardlow is a fucking beast who could have won this match anytime he wanted to. And it put more heat on MJF. Heading into not only the Punk match, but the eventual split, which is coming, obviously, with Wardlow. So it checked all the boxes. It accomplished everything that it needed to do, even if it was predictable. It did what it was supposed to do. Wardlow came out of this looking like a monster. He lost nothing from being pinned by CM Punk doing it the way that they did it. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. Tonight they did it the right way. Because there were any number of ways where Wardlow could have come out of this worse off than he was when he went in. So I like the finish for that reason. I thought it was well done. And when the time comes and Wardlow does pound this guy into the sand, again, you're going to have a new top five babyface in AEW on that roster. That's the potential that Wardlow has to take off. We talk about pillars, right? I don't know how old Wardlow is. He's not that old. Wardlow can be one of those so-called pillars. Because he's over. And the people want to cheer for him. So I like this. I thought this was well done. We had Dante Martin. Yeah, Santiago. Some people, they don't, you know, part of the problem, I think, is that they're just stuck in this way of thinking about things because they watch so much of the other product. And it's hard to kind of break out of that and see things in a different way. I hope that by breaking it down the way that I just did, I'm at least explaining where I'm coming from and why I feel this way. That's all I can do. All I can do is explain my opinion and my position, why I feel the way I feel, and why I'm right and you're wrong. That's all I can do. We had Dante Martin one-on-one against Powerhouse Hobbs. Two of them met in the aisle before the bell even rang. These two have had some issues before. Not the first time we've seen them in the ring together. But it feels like a rare dynamite match here for Hobbs. We don't get to see enough of him, I think, in the ring. There was a big running crossbody that sent Dante and Hobbs crashing out to the floor. Hobbs, though, hit an Arn Anderson-esque spinebuster to Dante on the floor. That led into Hobbs putting a beating on Dante. A little bit later on, Hobbs went for the torture rack. Dante escaped before running straight into a huge tackle. It's like running into a wall. when you run into Hobbs or Hobbs runs into you, it's like a truck just running you over. That's what it looks like. I'm sure it feels that way too. He whipped Dante to the floor. Ricky Starks was out there in Hobbs's corner. Starks starts putting the boots to Dante. Went to a commercial. Came back. Dante fired up. Hit a top rope missile drop kick for a near fall. He followed that with a springboard tornado dive out to the floor. Starks tried to interfere, but out comes Jay Lethal. And how sad is it that I had almost completely forgotten that Jay Lethal was even employed? He just came to AEW a couple of months ago. He had a great TV title match for the TNT belt with Sammy Guevara. Very good showing. And we have not seen him since. They have not found a role for him on the show yet. Well, now they have. But up to now, they haven't really had a role for him. Jameson Van Roekel. Rocking out with Beavis here. Just became a sound-off superstar. What is going on, Jameson? I wish I had some Jameson in this mug right now. Especially for some of the comments I saw on social media tonight. Trying to deal with some of these people and explain things to them is something that only alcohol, I think, can help you along with. But anyway, Jay Lethal comes out. Trying to even the odds. He doesn't think this is fair, what's going on here. And he pulls Ricky Starks down off the apron. That also distracted Hobbs, who got caught by Dante, who did his double jump springboard, moonsault, landed on Hobbs, and he pinned Hobbs. He pinned Powerhouse Hobbs. I am conflicted about that. I feel like Hobbs has lost more than he should. And I think Dante Martin is a very talented kid, and he's got a bright future, and obviously they think the world of him, and they've given him a bit of a push, and he's gotten quite a bit of TV time. But Hobbs is kind of like, I put him almost in like a Wardlow category where he should not be losing very often. He is, in the absence of Brian Cage, who was excommunicated from Team Taz and hasn't done shit in this company and will probably be gone from this company at some point this year. I mean, they've done nothing with him. As far as I know, he's not hurt. Hobbs is now the de facto, well, I'm sorry, Hook. Hook is in Team Taz. I don't mean to besmirch the good name of everyone's favorite Hook here, but Hook don't have the size that Hobbs has. Hobbs is like the fucking, he is the muscle of that group. And him being pinned by Dante Martin, that doesn't really sit well with me. But now at least it looks like Jay Lethal has something to do. It looks to me like they just swapped Leo Rush out for Jay Lethal. They just had one. They had one guy. They swapped him out, put another guy in his place. Whatever happened to Leo Rush? I thought when Dante turned on Team Taz, it was going to be him and Leo Rush back together. We haven't seen Leo Rush on TV since. The only time we've heard from Leo Rush is when he went off on Tony Khan. For what he said to Big Swole. Apologize. And then he did, and then he put a statement out, and he, you know, made a big fuss. We haven't seen him on television. So I don't know what's going on with Leo Rush, but it looks like his spot was given to Jay Lethal. But if it'll get Jay Lethal on TV a little more often, then I'm all for it. Alex Marvez was in the back. And he was interviewing Chris Jericho in the Inner Circle. Most of the members of the Inner Circle, Sammy was not there, but he was there with Jericho, Jake Hager, who I feel like we haven't seen Jake Hager on TV in quite a while, Santana and Ortiz. Marvez said that Pro Wrestling Illustrated named the Inner Circle its Faction of the Year in 2021. I think they also named Jericho against MJF the Feud of the Year. So I don't really put much stock in what Pro Wrestling Illustrated has to say. And I'll leave it at that. Eddie Kingston walked up and said that Santana and Ortiz would already be tag team champions if it wasn't for Jericho. Jericho and the Inner Circle are holding him back. I've been saying that. I think that those two guys sticking with the Inner Circle as long as they have and not going their separate ways and breaking them up last year after the whole feud ran its course with the Pinnacle was a mistake. Because they have done nothing since then. Jericho's moved on to do some other stuff. And frankly, everything that Jericho's been doing lately, I think, sucks. And I'm going to get to that at the end of the show. Jericho would do well by stepping off television for a while. Santana and Ortiz, it's kind of like Private Party and Matt Hardy, right? I'm sure Private Party working with Matt Hardy, you know, it's like sitting under the learning tree, and they can learn a lot from Matt. But Private Party, as part of the Hardy family office, has actually, you know, their stock has plummeted. If their stock was up here, their stock now is way down here. It's actually done them no good. It's done them worse than they were before they went into the whole Hardy family office thing. Santana and Ortiz, it was smart to put them with Jericho, with a main event guy when they first were part of the Inner Circle. It was a good spot for them to be in. Them being part of the Inner Circle has not benefited them in the last 6 months, year. It hasn't benefited them in the least. This should be the year that they wear tag team gold in this company, but it shouldn't come as members of the Inner Circle. The Inner Circle should go their separate ways. There's no need for the Inner Circle anymore. If anything, it's holding them back. I agree with Eddie. I think this little worked comment here, there's more shooting there than maybe they want to admit. So he's trying to tell these guys, look, you'd be tag champs already if it wasn't for Jericho. Jericho said, look, he looked at Sammy and said, look, I'm going to be out there in the main event in Sammy's corner for his match with Daniel Garcia. If 2.0 comes out, I'm going to kick their ass. If you come out, I might just kick your ass too. And then he said GFY to Eddie, and he walked off. And Eddie pretended or acted like he didn't know that GFY stood for go fuck yourself. And that was the end of that segment. MJF, as the announcers were talking and they were getting ready to go to the next segment, MJF stormed back out onto the stage with a microphone. He was very upset. He said, CM Punk, I know you're in the back. I know you're in a world of hurt right now, but you got powerbombed into oblivion by an oaf. Got a fluke win tonight over an oaf. But next week, I'm going to make sure that Punk takes his first L in AEW. And he was turning red in the face. I mean, MJF was just, he had the volume turned up to about a 15 here. He was really building it up like he was about to say, you want a match? You want? And he was going to announce that it was going to be Punk against MJF next week. Of course, why would they give that match away on TV next week? They're not going to. This was all a little swerve to announce that next week it's going to be CM Punk going one-on-one against Sean Spears. So we're going to get the Sean Spears match next week. You got to find ways to drag this thing out to Revolution. I mean, I know they have Beach Break in Cleveland coming up in a couple of weeks, so part of me is wondering if they'll get the Sean Spears match out of the way next week, and then they'll do the first MJF match with Punk at Beach Break on Dynamite in 2 weeks. Yeah, there's already a lot of talk that maybe Johnny Gargano is going to possibly show up on that show in his hometown. If they want to make that a big episode of Dynamite, you could do the match there, and you could have MJF win. Like I said, MJF should be the first person to hand a loss to CM Punk at AEW. But you have to imagine that if they wrestle, they're probably going to have a second match. And Punk will probably get his win back. So, I don't know, maybe they do the first match in Cleveland. And they do the rematch maybe with a stipulation at Revolution. It is possible. I would try to stretch things out to Revolution. I understand Revolution is still 2 months away, basically. But it has me thinking they might do that match at Beach Break in a few weeks. We have the AEW World Champion Hangman Adam Page out next for an interview. Yeah, I mean, again, everyone seems to agree that very good chance that we get Gargano in a couple of weeks. I wasn't convinced about what Gargano was going to do until we heard about the releases last week and William Regal being released. And I just don't see there being any way that Johnny Gargano looks at that, even though his wife still works there. I can't see Johnny Gargano looking at that and saying, you know what? That's the place that I feel like I want to go back to for another 3 years or another 5 years. He would have to be absolutely out of his mind. Unless he just wants to spend the rest of his career in NXT. In NXT, he was treated well. He was a world champion, a North American champion, I believe a tag team champion, right? Triple crown, I believe. Always pushed at a top or near top level his time there. A lot of guys, frankly, from NXT can say that. But what future does he have on Raw and SmackDown? The answer is none. He has no future whatsoever. But as they release more of these people that I know he respects and I know he cares deeply about, for him to go back there would absolutely just blow my mind. I mean, you go where you're going to be happy, I suppose, but I think he would be out of his mind at this point to go back there. And also, he's doing these Twitch streams and he's answering questions from fans and talking about, oh my God, I would love to get in the ring with Kenny Omega. Bryan Danielson I have so much respect for him. I would love at some point this year to get in the ring with Bryan Danielson. He has to know none of this is possible unless he goes to AEW. So I am fairly convinced at this point, when I would not have necessarily said this a month ago, that Gargano will be coming into AEW. Cleveland, you know, even though it's before the birth of his child, baby wrestling, you know, he said he's not doing anything until the child is born. That's going to be a hard thing to turn down, I think. If Tony Khan comes to you and says, look, we'd love for you to be in Cleveland. We'd love for you to make your debut in your hometown and come out on TV. I think that would be very hard for him to turn down. Doesn't mean he has to wrestle. He could show up in Cleveland and wave and say hello and then go back home and be with his wife until the baby is born. Nobody is saying you can't do both. So it's looking very likely that that's going to be his landing spot. But we have the AEW World Champion, Hangman Page, out for a promo. He says, you know, over the last 2 months, I've spent 90 minutes in the ring with the best in the world, in Bryan Danielson. And I've shed enough blood to float a ship, all to hang on to the AEW World Championship. But it's a new year, and the records have reset, and the Hangman needs a new challenger. And that brought out Dan Lambert. Dan Lambert comes out. He complimented Hangman. Hangman was insulting him. He goes, look, I'm paying you a compliment. Talking about the kind of champion that you are. Said, unlike Cody Rhodes, you've earned your way to the title without playing backstage politics and without playing favorites. But Lambert was upset with Hangman playing pretend cowboy. He felt that that was insulting to the legacies of real cowboys like Cowboy Bill Watts, people like Stan the Man Hansen. Page took offense to this. He challenged Lambert to climb into the ring so he could stick his cowboy boots right up his ass. Lambert laughed at that and said, I ain't doing that. In fact, I'm going to take my leave right now. And as he went to go leave, all of a sudden we hear the music of Lance Archer, the Murder Hawk Monster. We have not seen or heard from Lance Archer since he hurt his neck in the match. Very scary moment. Landed right on his head in the world title eliminator. He had a match against Eddie Kingston. That was back in October. October 23rd, I believe it was. I looked it up earlier. So he's been out for a while. And so it was good to see him healthy, back on TV. He got into the ring and he grabbed Lambert. I remember he had issues in the past with Lambert. So he grabs Lambert. Lambert is begging for his life and saying, look, look, he's the champion. He's right over there. And he throws Lambert aside and he attacks Hangman Page. And I didn't look at this as it was a swerve, and now he's with Lambert. I just think he came out. His intention was to go after the champion. He doesn't give a fuck about Dan Lambert, and Lambert was lucky to get out of this with his life. So Archer attacks Hangman. He grabs a chair. He starts hitting him with the chair, and then he gives him the blackout onto the chair to end the segment. I don't know if Jake Roberts is still going to be with Lance Archer going forward. I would imagine so. Jake is at some point going to be back. You know, he did, not too long ago, signed a new deal with AEW to stick around. But, you know, I know Jake had COVID recently. And for a guy with COPD at his age who walks around hooked up to an oxygen tank, that's not good. So I hope Jake is doing well. I know he just started a new podcast, DDP Snake Pit. Him and Dallas are doing a podcast now, giving some competition. Yet another new podcast. Bring it on. There's so many podcasts, my God, I've lost track of all these new ones. But I know he and Dallas have a new podcast. So, and actually, I saw some footage from it of him and Dallas sitting at a table together. And you can see he's got the apparatus on him, Jake does. The breathing tube is up his nose and everything. So, again, I know he got COVID. And for a guy in his condition with that, you know, situation going on. I hope he's doing well. But anyway, you know, a match with Hangman, I think Hangman and Archer sounds good as a big TV main event. We were just talking about Beach Break in a couple of weeks in Cleveland. That could be your Beach Break main event right there. AEW World Championship. Hangman defends against Lance Archer. I just don't see it as a pay-per-view main event. That is not a match that you headline Revolution with. To be honest with you, as I look ahead to Revolution, Punk and MJF, they're not going to headline, right? They're going to want a headline with a championship match, and I understand that. Hangman and Lance Archer, if that were the match, if they're still feuding at that point, late February, early March, that's not the match to headline that show with. We don't know if Kenny Omega is going to be back in time to wrestle at that point. You know, at some point we're going to get Omega and the Bucks against Cole and Red Dragon. It's just inevitable. And I see it being a blood and guts match eventually when they get to it. So I look at Revolution and I say, well, what do you headline with then? If they don't have a solid challenger, and maybe Moxley will come back and go after Hangman. We know Moxley is going to be back any week now. Is he going to be a heel when he comes back? If he is, he should go after Hangman Page. Because he was going to be in the Eliminator and he took himself out of it. So if they have Moxley and Hangman, then that could be a pay-per-view main event. If not, I think you look to Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa. And look, I've been saying it for the longest time. Thunder Rosa is going to win that championship from Britt Baker. I thought maybe they would hold off on it until Double or Nothing, and maybe they will. But if they don't do Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter first, you know, because Jamie Hayter's, it's kind of like Wardlow and MJF. We all know where that's headed, and it's headed for a breakdown between the two. But if they wanted to do Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker at Revolution, I think you could headline with that, maybe in a steel cage for the championship. They could pull what Impact just did the other night at their Hard to Kill pay-per-view. They had, for the first time ever, they had the ladies go on last. It was Mickie James defending her title against Deonna Purrazzo in a Texas death match, and they headlined the show. You could do the same thing with Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa at Revolution, but you need a strong main event. And I don't see Archer and Hangman as a strong pay-per-view main event. I see that as a TV main event. But there's still time between now and then to come up with a different match. Now, earlier today, Tony Schiavone was interviewing Arn Anderson, his son Brock, or Glock, and Lee Johnson. Thank you, CJ Rocks, in the chat. That's right. Hit that like button. I didn't mention that. Hit that like button. Hit that thumbs up and help out the channel when you do. So Schiavone was interviewing Arn and Brock and Lee Johnson. And Arn said, you know, we are in horseman country. We're here in the Carolinas tonight. Tully Blanchard, another former fellow horseman, walks into camera frame with FTR, the two wannabe horsemen. And apparently, it's in their contracts. I think it's in everyone's contract in this company that if you are cutting a promo, you will be interrupted. There's a certain number of interruptions every person has on their contract every year in AEW. It's uncanny. It's unbelievable. I don't even think WWE has as many interruptions during promos in the ring or backstage as we have here in AEW. It is comical. So Tully interrupts and he tells Arn, you know, if you want to relive the Horseman days, all you got to do is drop the dead weight and come join with us. And Arn says, cool it. This is my son you're talking about here. Cash Wheeler tells Arn, you know, we can make you proud. And Dax lays down the challenge for next week and says it'll be FTR against Brock and Lee Anderson. Or Lee Johnson. I think I just inducted Lee Johnson into the Anderson family by calling him Lee Anderson. Welcome to the family, Lee Johnson. You are now officially Lee Anderson. I have made it so. You are now an official member of the Anderson clan. You'll get your gun permit next week. No, Mr. Dynamite, you're wrong. He said, I think Britt Baker is the only one that is allowed to... Oh, okay, no, you're right. I thought you said Thunder Rosa. I thought you said Thunder Rosa is the only one allowed to cut a promo without any interruptions. Thunder Rosa was interrupted once, at least once. I know she got beaten up backstage, I think by Jade and Nyla once. Britt Baker, I don't know that she's ever been, I'm almost positive she's been interrupted a few times. I think you're wrong on that too. Vibes, I liked at the very end of the promo as they walked off where Dax looked at Arn and said, thanks, Dad. I'm telling you, those two guys, and by their own admission, they would tell you, wannabe horsemen. They would have fit in perfect in that era. Like NWA, like early to mid 80s, late 70s. FTR, they would have fit in perfectly in that era. Hikaru Shida, one-on-one against Serena Deeb. Serena attacks Shida. This feud's been going on for many months, and they've had some pretty good matches together. Tonight was not one of those nights. Tonight was not a match. It was more of an angle. And Serena attacked her and clipped her knee and went after her when Shida was still on the ramp making her entrance. So she took her down, and after some more abuse, the referee wanted to know if Shida felt like she could continue. Can you wrestle? Can you continue? And Shida said, of course, yes, I can. And at that point, when the bell rang, it was right back to work on Sheeta's knee. Serena applied the Serenity Lock, her one-leg crab. And the referee called for the stoppage right at around the two-minute mark. So we went 2 minutes here, and that was it. The referee felt that Shida could take no more and called the match for Serena, but Serena was not done. Serena showed no mercy here in this segment. She grabbed a chair. I'm sorry, not a chair. She grabbed a kendo stick, and she was swinging that thing around. The doctor was in the ring to check on Shida, and Serena started swinging that stick, and everybody just backed away. And she started wailing away on Shida and wailing away on the knee. She broke the kendo stick over this woman's body. And Serena's great. Now, my understanding is that the reason this was done, I believe Shida is going back to Japan. There's some other project or event or show or something that she's going to be doing, I think. And so I believe this was their way of writing her off television, at least temporarily. This was their way of writing her off television. I don't know if it's permanent, temporary, but I think Sheeta's going away. I don't think this was done to build to an immediate rematch. Ty Conti, I noticed on Twitter, when this segment was over, posted something like, what's wrong with that woman? Or, what's gotten into, Serena. So it looks like that might be where we go next. It might be Serena getting a match on TV one of these weeks with Ty Conti. But I believe we've seen the last of Shida for a while. But we haven't seen the last of Dame Dash, who just subscribed to the channel. Thank you, Dame. Welcome aboard. We had Jurassic Express in the back, the new tag team champions, along with Christian Cage being interviewed. They wish Rey Fénix well after his ugly injury last week. Somehow he did not break his arm. He only dislocated his elbow. And we're still waiting to find out when he might be back. I think it's going to be a while. I saw this talk online that, he could be back in a matter of weeks. It's like, I don't know about that. You know, whatever the x-rays showed, that doesn't mean that there isn't still damage that the x-rays didn't pick up on. You know, you've got ligaments in there. So whatever the final diagnosis is, I hope he takes all the time he needs, because that was a sick injury. One of the sickest things I've seen on a wrestling show. And he should not rush back from something like that. But hopefully Fénix is doing well. So the Dinosaur and Jungle Boy wanted to issue an open challenge to any top five tag team in the company. And that's when John Silver and Alex Reynolds showed up with the Dark Order and Christian. They said, top five, huh? And Christian said, yeah, if you find one, let us know. And this was to set up a match between the two teams on Rampage. We had Matt Hardy in his home state of North Kakalaki. He, of course, being from Cameron. Tonight they were in Raleigh. Did I get it right? Raleigh. He was going one-on-one against Penta, with Fénix being out. And Matt pointed out that his wife, Rebby, and their 18 children were in the crowd tonight, and they briefly put them on camera. Couldn't fit all the kids on camera because there's so many of them. And Matt said that he would send Penta to the hospital to be with his brother. Match started. They traded Cero Miedo and Delete Chance back and forth. They went to commercial after the first couple of minutes. They come back. Matt hit a side effect to Penta on the ring apron. Tried for a twist of fate on the inside, but Penta escaped. Hit an enziguri before avoiding a Matt Hardy moonsault. And he hit the fear factor for the win. So Penta picks up the win. He's in the ring. Alex Abrahantes comes into the ring. Penta is going to speak. And Alex is going to translate. And Penta has a message for Malakai Black. And Alex is translating. All of a sudden, the lights go out. Another thing that Tony Khan loves doing is turning out the lights. I think every night before he goes to bed, when he turns those lights out, man, he gets a tingle up his leg. He loves turning the lights out. Lights come back on, and Malakai Black is in the ring. And Malakai delivers a kick to Alex and takes Alex down. And tries to rip the mask, not even rip the mask off of Penta's head. He's trying to rip it open, like by the eye. Like the eye opening. He's trying to rip the mask off. And out come the Varsity Blondes, Varsity Don't Call Us Hollywood Blondes, Griff Garrison, Brian Pillman Jr., they come out. They attack Malakai. Penta eventually is attacking Malakai. All of a sudden, the heel is now outnumbered by the babyfaces. And Julia Hart, who came down with the Varsity Blondes and still has her pirate eye patch on, along with the rest of her cheerleader outfit, which is comical to look at, with that little eye patch, she's trying to tell them, no, 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 enough, enough. He's had enough. Which is interesting because I've been wondering if they might end up having Julia Hart and even Pac, who had a segment a little bit later, wind up as part of the House of Black, as if him misting them in the face is going to somehow, cause them to join with him. Now, he's misted other people like Cody in the face, and they haven't joined with him, so they'd have to explain, you know, why. But I thought that was kind of interesting. It might not lead anywhere. It could just be that Julia had a moment of weakness and said, give me an S, give me a T, give me an O, give me a P, stop, leave him alone. She should have done a cheer. So then the lights go out again. Tony Khan, I'm sure, big smile on his face. Oh, I get to do it twice on this show. So they turn the lights out for a second time. And when the lights came back on, there, standing in the middle of the ring, was Brody King, the tattooed beast himself. The guy looks like a fucking tank. There he is. And the crowd was waiting for it, because even before the lights came back on, they were chanting his name. They were chanting Brody King. So there he is in the middle of the ring, and he laid waste to everybody, including a cannonball senton to Pillman in the corner. Malakai then tossed Griff Garrison into the clutches of Brody King, who caught him and then power slammed him. That looked tremendous. I thought that could be their finishing move right there. Maybe it is. I know they're tag team partners in PWG. I don't know what their finishing move is. If that's it, that's a fucking cool move. So I thought that it was great to see Brody finally. We knew he was going to be coming in. I thought that he looked great here in terms of just wrecking shit. And just him standing there in the middle of the ring with Malakai, and they referred to them as the Kings of the Black Throne, which I think is the tag name they go by. But yeah, it looks like they're using that in AEW. And Bash, if you and other people don't know who Brody King is, he's more well known for his recent work in recent years with Ring of Honor. So if you care enough to look up his, well, I don't know where you would go to find, some of his more recent Ring of Honor stuff, but that would be my recommendation. Just do a YouTube search, look up some Brody King stuff. You'll get a pretty good feel for the kind of wrestler he is. Yeah, he's a big guy, but he can move around. And I think that this is great, adding members, creating a faction around Malakai Black, if in fact that's what happens. Right now it's just a team, it's not a faction, but the House of Black could have 3, 4, 5 people in it. That could be the perfect, role, I think, for Malakai Black to almost be leading his own little cult of different personalities. But it adds another very formidable team to the AEW Tag Team Division. My only hope is that they still allow Malakai to do singles matches as well. I don't want to see him just become a tag team guy. I think letting him do both is the way to go. He and Brody King could do tag matches together. They could be tag team champions at some point. But I don't want to see that at the expense of Malakai Black no longer doing singles matches. You know, we saw that in WWE. AJ Styles was taken out of the singles division for over a year to put him with Omos. You know, we have Randy Orton and Matt Riddle as a team, and Rhea Ripley and Nikki Cross as a team, and they really weren't doing many singles matches. You know, they would do some, but they really weren't competing for singles titles. I want to see Malakai do both. I think Malakai could be a world champion before this year is out. He's got the best entrance in AEW. You know, he, as a wrestler, we know, you know, what he can do in the ring. But in terms of personalities and in terms of when he comes out, you know, it still feels special when he shows up. I want to see them do more with him, not just the tag team thing. But it was very cool to see he and Brody King on AEW television. So we had the Acclaimed. Two-on-two. With Bear Country. I thought this was fucking dull. You know, we don't see Bear Country on TV enough for me to give a shit about them. In fact, I don't think I've ever heard them speak on Dynamite or on Rampage. I'm sure they have on Dark and Dark Elevation. That's all fine and good. This was on this show for one reason. It had nothing to do with Bear Country. Believe me, it had nothing to do with Bear Country. This was on the show for one reason. It was to set up what happened when the match was over. Because the Acclaimed have had issues of late with Sting and Darby Allin. And so they come out and they're rapping and they wrestle Bear Country and they win. They were setting up for the Bear Bomb. Caster avoided it, rolled up Bronson for two, and then hit the mic drop for the win. So a rare win, in fact, on Dynamite for the Acclaimed. And I knew something was coming because as they left the ring and they were backing up the ramp, they just kept the camera focused on those two guys. It's like, all right, what's going to happen now? These guys... they're giving these guys an awful lot of TV time, more than they usually do. And sure enough, the lights dim and the snow is falling and here comes Sting. And he walks out. Meanwhile, Darby Allin from behind comes shooting through the ropes, hitting Max Caster. He dives right into him, the big cannonball torpedo dive. And Sting took out Bowens with the baseball bat. Hit the Scorpion Death Drop to Max Caster. So that was literally the only reason that the Acclaimed even had a match on the show tonight. You could have put them in the ring with two crash test dummies, and it would have had the same effect. All that mattered is what happened after, which was setting up the appearance. And there he is there. Look at that, Lazy Sting. Lazy Sting sitting at home in his recliner watching the show. I mentioned PAC a little while ago. We had a PAC video pack. See what I did there? We had a PAC video package, and he had his eyes all bandaged up, and he was doing the narration. He was talking about what the doctors have told him about how he may never see again. And they had all these creepy pictures of PAC, but with the eyes blurred out, so it looked like he had no eyes. Boy, you know, I wish that could be me on most Monday nights. Just kind of wipe away the eyes. But then I'd have to hear. I'd have to listen to the announcers. So he said that he may have been blinded, but he sees everything. And he says that he appreciates the blessing and his vision has never been more clear. So I have no idea what they're doing with him. You talk about inconsistent appearances. I mean, PAC's here for a few weeks. He's gone for longer. He's back for a few weeks. He's gone for longer. You know, it might be a travel thing in the age of COVID. Maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. But, you know, Death Triangle, is it even a thing anymore? I don't know. I don't know where they're going with him. It was a well-done video package, though. Kind of creepy. But I don't know what the plan is for him. Is it to, you know, gain a measure of revenge on Malakai Black? You know, is... in the absence of Rey Fénix, maybe PAC comes back and teams up with Penta against Malakai and Brody King. In fact, I could absolutely see that being the case. Main event was Sammy Guevara against Daniel Garcia for the interim TNT championship that Sammy defeated Dustin Rhodes for. on the Battle of the Belt special this past weekend, or as I called it, Saturday Night Rampage, which is basically what that show was. Kingston and Jericho were at ringside. They were jawing at each other. Garcia was outside the ring, and Sammy Guevara did his twisting dive out over the top rope, landed right on Garcia's head. He came crashing down on top of this guy. Guevara set up for an early go to hell, but Garcia escaped, and when Guevara went for a flying knee, Daniel caught him with a backbreaker on the way down. We got one final commercial break. If we come back from that break, Sammy tried for the GTH, but Garcia countered it on the way down into a Scorpion Deathlock. That was a smooth transition. This kid's good. As young as he is, and again, only 4 years, they said, 4 years in the business, this kid's got more main events than most main eventers have on this show. Obviously, they see a lot in him, but when you watch his matches and you watch, you know, he's very smooth. He's very, you know, advanced, I think. He's wise beyond his years in the ring when you watch him for somebody who's that young with such little experience. Sammy, though, got to the bottom ropes for the break. Sammy hit the crossroads for a near fall and hit the double jump into a cutter. But as he's coming off the ropes backwards, trying for a cutter, Garcia caught him on the way down and trapped him in a sleeper hold, then turned it into a pile driver. He went for the pin, got 2.5. At that point, 2.0 ran down to the ring. They attacked Kingston, then they went after Jericho. Attacked him and they shoved him into the barricade. Sammy knocked Jeff Parker of 2.0 off the apron when he got up on the apron. With a tear in my eye, thank you for that 1992 super chat from Frank Aquilino. I will read your message in a little bit. Random says the purple shirt. This is not just a purple shirt. Are you kidding me? Purple shirt. It's all about the macho man. Ooh, yeah. Don't just call it a purple shirt. Don't be disrespecting the macho man now. So Sammy knocked Jeff Parker off the apron. Garcia got a roll up, but Sammy kicked out. Finally, he hit the GTH, and Sammy Guevara retains his interim TNT championship. 2.0 attacked Guevara after the bell. Jericho got into the ring and started teeing off on 2.0 with his baseball bat. And as I'm watching this on the same show where Sting came out and Sting has his bat, do we really need two guys on this show with fucking baseball bats? I mean, Sting had it first. Sting's had his bat for a very long time. Do we still need Jericho going around with Floyd the baseball bat here? The crowd, by the way, as Jericho was teeing off on these guys with his bat, the crowd didn't give a shit. The crowd did not give a shit about Chris Jericho here. They did not, and they're kind of like me. They weren't reacting to this at all. And Eddie Kingston got up at his face, and there was a pull apart between the two. This turned into, what I thought was a good match turned into an overbooked mess here at the end with the 2.0 stuff and Jericho. And it was an overbooked fucking mess here at the end. I am just finding it very hard to care about anything that Chris Jericho is involved in right now on TV. You know, I don't need to see him in the main events, so it's good that he's not, wrestling for the championship or anything like that. He's been phased down. But I just can't bring myself to care, you know, about any of this. And he's coming out here, Terrence and Phillip, and you've got a square head and, you know, all this stuff. Very hit or miss with the comedy. I'm tired of him. He is somebody who would absolutely benefit by going away. For a while. You know, he wants to sit in on Rampage and do commentary and be around, that's fine. But I'm just not, you know, of all the stuff Eddie Kingston's been doing in recent months on TV, and we've seen Kingston with Punk, and that feud was so great. It was brief, but I love the stuff with Eddie Kingston and CM Punk, and I love the match that Kingston had with Bryan Danielson. And, you know, Kingston's done some really cool shit. And when Moxley comes back, maybe he and Moxley will be back together. But even Eddie Kingston being part of this, it's not doing it for me. I just cannot bring my stuff to give a shit. I cannot bring myself, rather, to give a shit about what Jericho's doing right now. So, and I don't think I'm the only one who feels that way. So that was the end of the show. Rampage on Friday has Adam Cole against Trent Beretta, Chris Statlander, Red Velvet, and Layla Hirsch against Nyla Rose, Penelope Ford, and The Bunny. Sean Spears against Andrew Everett. And the tag team titles will be on the line. It will be Jurassic Express against John Silver and Alex Reynolds of the Dark Order. On Dynamite, next Wednesday, intergender match, Adam Cole and Britt Baker. Mixed tag. Take on Orange Cassidy and Chris Statlander. CM Punk takes on Sean Spears. Serena Deeb takes on Sky Blue. We've got Cody Rhodes, the TNT champion, returns. The TNT champion is back after such a long absence. The TNT champion will be back on TV. Sting and Darby Allin will also be taking on the Acclaim. So they've announced a lot of stuff. I like that. I like the fact that they announce a lot of shit in advance. So that's good. As disgusted Brandi Rhodes looks back at me here on my screen. So that was your Dynamite show tonight. A good show, but I think I enjoyed a lot more the stuff from Hour 1 than I did Hour 2. That ending, it did not do it for me at all. That was a very lame way to go off the air, I thought. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll. I decided to keep the thumbs in the middle in it again this week. We've got 65% thumbs up, about 23.6% thumbs in the middle, and 11.6% thumbs down. So if you want to vote, at Solomonster is the place to go. And before I do get into your super chats, I do want to mention this, because there is something very cool that is coming up this Friday. And it's actually the reason why I will not be doing a SmackDown Rampage stream on Friday. Hey, Jared with the $25 Hardy Monster. Look at those moves. Look at those moves. Look at the guns. Look at the guns on that guy. Anyway, this Friday, I want to get your guys' feedback on this. This is part of the reason why I'm showing this to you. Hey, Lord Frieza. Shout out to Lord Frieza, channel member for 10 months. House of Glory, which you can see the big shows live on Fight TV. We're going to have our all-women's tournament coming up on Friday night. Who runs the world? We are crowning a brand new House of Glory women's champion. Take a look at this women's championship belt. It looks better than most belts I see in WWE. That is the new Hog women's title. One of these ladies here in this tournament bracket is going to walk away with that championship. And who do you guys think is going to win this tournament? We got some names coming in for the show on Friday. We got Deonna Purrazzo taking on Sumi Sakai. We got Jordan Grace taking on Janai Kai. We've got Mercedes Martinez. We saw her. We had a graphic for her on Dynamite tonight. They're going to have a video package on Rampage Friday talking about the heat with her and Thunder Rosa. Before she gets Thunder Rosa, though, she's got to face Natalia Markova. I've heard a lot of good things about her. And then we have Santana Garrett going one-on-one with the former House of Glory women's champion in Violet. So an interesting bracket here. I'll be on the call, on commentary. I believe this is airing on Fight TV. At least it was supposed to. I hope that is still the case. But anyway, one night only, women's tournament. Going to crown a brand new women's champion. It should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Call in a tournament. Never know who's going to advance, what match you're going to end up with in the finals, but I got a few matches there I'd like to see. Hey, maybe we'll get them. Maybe we can make it happen. By the way, before I do anything here on the subject of that, I saw earlier today that Ricky Morton tweeted that the Rock and Roll Express retirement tour officially commences this month on January 22nd. This is it. He's going to be stepping away. He wants to do more behind the scenes. He's got a son now who's trying to get his career started. I saw a little bit of his son recently wrestling for the NWA. So the Rock and Roll Express are hanging up the boots and the tights, and they're calling it quits. And I have to say, one of the coolest moments of my time doing commentary for House of Glory, and I've been doing commentary for them, color alongside JD now for This is going to be year number four. Year number four. This summer will be 4 years. Although there was a COVID year in there where there were no shows, so that put a little asterisk next to it. But one of the coolest moments from my time doing commentary in House of Glory was being able to call a Rock and Roll Express main event a couple of years ago. So I am happy that I had that opportunity before they call it quits for good to call one of their matches. So wanted to give a shout out to Ricky Morton and the Rock and Roll Express. You know, to see Ricky Morton out there still busting out Canadian destroyers at 60-something years old is just fucking wild. Anyway, let us get to your super chats and find out what you guys had to say about the show tonight. And other things, perhaps, that you have things to say about. Nayef Al-Safar, my brother, thank you, sir, for the $4.99 to get things rolling tonight. We do have a whole bunch of new super chats. They're all, I put the word new next to the new ones down below, or you could just, whatever, send a super chat in. There's a bunch of random ones, too. Dry chicken without flavor. Hey, Solomonster, I watched your 2022 predictions video the other day. I will make one of my own. Well, I hope you enjoyed them. I do it for fun. Boy, some people take those things way too seriously. I had one fucking nerd in the comments go, you know, based on your predictions from last year, it was only, you know, an 18% accuracy rate. I'm like, motherfucker, it's done for fun. Some years I've done really well. Some years I've done shit. How many podcasters are you going to find when they do predictions who will dedicate 5, 10, 15 minutes of the segment to going over their predictions and what they got wrong from the year before? You don't find a lot of accountability. I do that every year. I don't mind going back and looking at what I got right and what I got wrong. You're not very good at doing this thing. Fuck out of here. Food Hive, $1.99 super chat. Hey, Biblical Adrian with the Bailey Taker. I love that. I don't even remember where I got that from. But just the idea of Undertaker having the old Bailey entrance just tickled. Anyway, Food Hive. Main event Garcia strikes again. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed he does. The Mount Vernon Kid, the Alpha, $7 super chat. I love that we have a feud in women's division that is not just about the title. This isn't over between Sheeta and Serena. Looking forward to what's next. Though I think it is over for now. It may not be over for good, but I think it's over for now. Nick Grosso, $9.99. Thank you for the 10 spot. The CM Punk match was overbooked. 8 power bombs, one of them through a table, and he comes back and wins with a roll-up, bad finish. Well, I disagree. And I've already explained why I feel like it was not a bad finish. It's all I can do is explain why I feel it was, why I feel like it was the right finish to do. Drew Johnson, Adam Cole is the next Shawn Michaels, Bay Bay. Well, Sean is probably his idol. I mean, he loved working with Sean in NXT. Food Hive. $4.99. No joke. Daniel Garcia has to have the most main events in AEW history. I'm not complaining as I love the guy. The second batch of pillars has a leader. Drew Johnson, who's ready for story time with Solomonster, baby? I just told you an hour and 20 minutes story. You get Solomonster story time every week when I come on here. Team Four Wood, Serena Deeb is a badass. Indeed she is. Carlos Naftali, $5 super chat. Kinder Bueno bars are amazing. Try one sometime if you like chocolate. I've never tried one. But every single week on this show, every commercial break, I hear about these fucking Kinder Bueno. Kinder Bueno. Kinder Bueno. Can we get something different? Can we get like a fucking Twix commercial or something just to change it up a little bit, maybe? Baby Ruth? And one of those Snickers commercials, maybe? Nick Crispino, episodes seem more about forwarding storylines than moments. Yeah, there were, you know, you look at the Punk and Wardlow match. I said it was more of an angle than a match. Same thing with Serena and Sheeta. It was more of an angle than a match. So I agree. I think it was more about that than, you know, having a Hangman Danielson type match. No promo, no appearance by Danielson tonight. By the way, no Bryan Danielson. Rodimus Prime, $40 super chat. Holy smokes. Decent show tonight. The Wardlow MJF stuff is the best thing in AEW right now. That said, what are your thoughts on the lawsuit that MLW filed against WWE? Hold on a second here. There we go. Yeah, I mean, I'll talk a little bit about it on Sunday. Honestly, I mean, I've seen part of the complaint. I was reading up on part of the complaint. I think this is going to go very badly, I think, for MLW. I think that they are, you know, they're looking for a payday. Maybe they'll get a settlement of some kind. I'm not even sure they'll get that. It sounds to me like they need the money. I'm not saying there wasn't anything nefarious that WWE did. It wouldn't shock me at all. But do I expect them to win some kind of, you know, win the case and win some kind of big settlement or anything like that? No. No, I don't. So I honestly don't think that anything much is going to come out of this. I think it's much ado about nothing. Samoan Fan 101, Becky against Doudrop at the Rumble. All I ask is why. Yeah, that makes two heel versus heel championship matches so far signed up for the Rumble. At least it's someone different, though, I guess, right? Yeah, Italia in the chat. MLW tried tampering, some kind of tampering suit against WWE. It's years ago. It's not going to go anywhere. Or it'll be very quietly and quickly settled. They're not going to get millions of dollars or anything. They're going to try to get some money out of it. Maybe they need money. You know, maybe WWE really did fuck them over. I don't doubt that WWE meddled in their business last year. They were supposed to get some kind of streaming deal. They were talking about there's a big announcement coming. It was probably going to be that 2B TV deal. And then guess what? There was no announcement. It just never happened. So I don't doubt for a second that WWE probably fucked with them in some way. The issue is, can they prove it? That's going to be a lot harder to do. Tuxedo T Servo, now that Sheeta literally has a pole in her garage to dance with, how long until we get a Sheeta on a pole super chat? She does it for core strength. Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know where you were going with that super chat. I said, what pole are you referring to? Is it gold? Is it brass? What kind of pole does this woman have at home? That makes a little more sense, at least. It does take a lot of core strength, though, to balance yourself on a pole. I tried doing that once, by the way, at a bar very late at night. I was out with my friends. This is going back about a decade, and I didn't have the core strength that I have now, but there was a pole in the back, and usually there were some ladies on it, and, you know, a lot of the girls who would come out to the bar love to go on the pole and, you know, hang on it and stuff. And so I'm like, well, if they can do it, I can do it. So there's a picture of me floating around somewhere, of me on a pole. Security guy comes over, this big guy, comes over and basically just grabs me and, like, yanks me off and says, you can't do that. It was this place. Anybody in Manhattan, in the city, if you know of our bar, it's like, I think in the Village somewhere. It was in the back at our bar. This is many years ago. Cameron Johnson. As somebody who was at Dynamite Live, the crowd was dead. Not sure how it came across on TV. Yep, it came across the same way for the most part. This crowd did not seem to be into much. They were definitely into the Punk and Wardlow stuff, though, in the Wardlow MJF tease. They were into that. And they enjoyed seeing Brody King, but beyond that, they didn't seem overly enthusiastic about much. Hulkling 93. Kingston and Jericho's bickering is giving me Curb Your Enthusiasm vibes. And tonight, AEW turned the promo interruption into an Olympic sport. Yeah, it's to the point now of just absurdity. I mean, even the most diehard of diehard AEW fans, where if you say the slightest thing wrong about them, they flip out. You know, the little vein in the side of their neck starts jetting out. Even they, I think, would have to admit that it's a little ridiculous. Tyrone Dunstan, $10 super chat. The look on Tony Schiavone's face during the Arn and Tully confrontation was priceless. He couldn't help but smile while having flashbacks of a time long past. I did notice that. I'm telling you, he looks like he's having the time of his life. He really does. It's cool. The way he's had this renaissance in wrestling in recent years. You know, first he came back to MLW. And then Tony Khan scooped him up for AEW and said, okay, he'll be able to continue his MLW duties as well. That didn't last very long. Ryan Spies, $4.99. Andrew Everett should squash the entire roster. Barely even know who that is. Dry Chicken Without Flavor, in 2022, I predict Okada the Rainmaker will make his Impact Wrestling appearance before his AEW debut. Well, it's going to be hard, you know, to see the Okada Bucks raining down in, you know, a mostly empty building. It's going to be kind of sad. I don't want to see that. Joseph Brooks, buy, rent, or sell on Better Frog Splash is Montez Ford, RVD, or Eddie Guerrero. Montez Ford has the best looking, in terms of height, pure height, the best looking Frog Splash I think that I've ever seen. And RVD is, you know, he's in another league, but Montez Ford is fucking amazing what he does. And he can twist his body. RVD could do that too, but Ford is lighter than RVD, so he can move a little bit better. Montez Ford is an absolute fucking freak when it comes to those frog splashes. Lord Frieza. What's going on, Lord Frieza? 1999 Super Chat said about a year ago, you and I had a conversation about Wardlow, how he is someone to keep an eye on. We even compared his ring work and look to someone like Mike Awesome. Fast forward a year or so later, and man, we were right. I love being right. Ali Nadim, $5 Super Chat. Problem wasn't the roll-up, it was 7 power bombs. That isn't something you should just come back. Samoan fan, well, it's a fair point. Maybe they could have done 5 power bombs instead of 7 or 8. Fair point. Samoan fan 101, to answer Dry Chicken Super Chat, every company should share Okada. What is this? Every company gets turns? This guy's like a fucking doorknob or something? He can go to every company and win all of their titles. Instant money. Now that's an idea that I can get behind. That's an idea that I can get behind. Andrew Carroll, Solomonster energy drink. What flavor would it be? Strawberry daiquiri. Magician Sapphire, $10 super chat. The problem with Proud and Powerful with Inner Circle and Private Party with HFO is the lion's share of the focus has been on Jericho and Hardy, two people who don't need it, and not getting these guys over. I agree. It's almost as if it's sort of accepted that just by associating with them, it's going to rub off on them and be good for them, and I think it's actually proven to be the opposite. You know, Hardy has been the one who's been getting the lion's share of the feuds with Orange Cassidy and some of these other people. Jericho, it's the same thing. And the other guys are in the background. They're bit players in the background. They're not really benefiting from these alliances. They're not benefiting from these relationships. It's actually hindering them. Spotlight should not be on Matt Hardy. It should not be on Chris Jericho. You're right. That's the problem. What's going on, Thomas? I'll get to you in a sec. Dry Chicken, in 2022... I predict Carmelo Hayes will become the NXT champion when his NXT North American reign is over. Andrew Carroll, NXT 2.0, feels like a time warp into the 80s and 90s WWF. And And that's not necessarily a good thing. It could be, but it's not necessarily a good thing. Drew Johnson. Solomonster, it's going to be Mox against Danielson for the main event. No, not if it's not for a championship, it's not. I think they're going to want a headline with a title match. So if you think that the main event of the pay-per-view is going to be a singles non-title match between those two, I think you're wrong. Yeah, and Tuxedo in the chat, you know, you make a great point to what we were just talking about. Sting and Darby is how they got it right. Sting and Darby is a great example of how to use a star, how to use a name, but not put all of the focus on that person. Darby has benefited from, I think, the alliance with Sting in a way that Private Party and Proud and Powerful have not. They got it right with Sting and Darby. They got it wrong with the other guys. Who we got here? Well, there we go. Out of the way. We got Beast on the Tracks with the $5 super chat. Serena Deeb just comes across to me as a badass. She should keep the kendo stick. I could easily see her as a badass tweener in the future. Joe, who are you talking about in the chat? You better not be talking about me. So clarify who you're talking about. Ryan Spies, Kings of the Black Throne should dethrone Jurassic Express. Well, they just won the belt. I wouldn't do it yet. But should they be the ones to take the titles? I wouldn't mind it. I'm still waiting on the Briscoes. They got to be coming in. Briscoes have to be coming in to do that match with FTR. They wouldn't be teasing it so heavily and hard on social media if it wasn't going to happen. Which makes me think Revolution. Maybe they're going to do it at the pay-per-view. Bring the Briscoes in. We've already got Jay Lethal in. We've already got Brody King in. There's no more Ring of Honor, at least until April. You got to at least get the Briscoes in for that one match. Ed Weber? All right, have at it. Have at it. I thought you were talking about me. Jamin John, is MJF surpassing The Rock? Oh, let's not get carried away. No, he's not. BG Thrilla. Wardlow's face turn will be awesome. I agree. Thank you for the $3. Frank Aquilino with the 1992 from about half an hour ago. When the split happens, Cole and Red Dragon should be the faces against the Elite. Cole gets babyface pops anyway. Yeah, people love... Now, is it a case where they love him or they love his music? They love his entrance. I think you're right, but I do think it's worth asking. Are they more into the entrance? They don't really seem to have a problem booing him when he's out there doing, you know, sinister stuff. But if you're going to have baby faces and you're going to have heels, I mean, the Bucks are perfect as the smarmy, annoying douchebag heels. I think that works for them. I do think Omega is going babyface at some point, but maybe not until after that feud is over. And if they lose to Cole and Red Dragon, maybe that's when Omega turns. Joseph Brooks, buy or sell Liu Kang or Kung Lao? Liu Kang. Dry Chicken. In the year of 2022. I should get my flashlight and turn the lights out and do what Conan and Andy used to do in the year 2000. In the year 2000! I predict Private Party will turn on Matt Hardy. Private Party will remain as heels while Matt Hardy will become a babyface. Lord Frieza, Y2J needs to take a sabbatical or something. He needs to chill with the corny lines and the jokes. Dry Chicken, Jeff Hardy will make his AEW debut to help Matt Hardy against Private Party. Hey, Jared, thank you for the $25 drop, my friend. EJ Slim, sorry I've been gone. Life has been busy. But I'm glad to be back for the new year, and I wanted to say I got a 92 Rumble shirt for Christmas. Well, that's awesome. This is the 30th anniversary. Actually, today was the 30th anniversary of one of the most famous angles in wrestling history, the Barber Shop Incident. Even though it was taped a month earlier, it aired on TV 30 years ago today. Marty Jannetty, the cowardly Marty Jannetty, diving through the window to try to escape from Shawn Michaels. Biblical Adrian, favorite AEW moment so far out of the 3 years. Punk's return in Chicago at the United Center, I think, has got to be up there. That entire Brody Lee tribute show, even though it was depressing, I thought was just tremendously just well put together. But I think, you know, the Punk moment is up there. The Punk moment might be number one. It was just, you know, to see that kind of reaction and how loud it was in the building after 7 years away, to get that kind of response in front of what up to that point was their biggest crowd. You know, they had 13,000 people, I think, something like that in the building. I mean, that's a hard one. That's a hard one to top. Dave Meltzer, Wrestling Observer Newsletter, chiming in with $4.99. Sources say Solomonster is considering calling the NXT arena the Pastel Palace. Any thoughts about Watch Mojo ranking Omega the best of this century? I don't know what Watch Mojo is. The best of the century? I'm not ready to say that. But I do think that Omega does not get... I think Omega gets more disrespect than he deserves. And I think Cornette has a lot to do with that. And his minions. But if you look at the work that he's put in, going back to the New Japan days, and, you know, leaving out the DDT stuff, and the... Yeah, everyone loves to talk about the shit that happened like 20 years ago, 15 years ago, with the 9-year-old girl match, and the blow-up doll, Yoshiko, or Yoshihiko, whatever the fuck. You know, I look at his work in New Japan and those matches that he had there, and the work that he put in last year when he was all beaten to shit, all banged up and all hurt, the matches he still, you know, turned out, winning titles in different companies and going here and going there. I don't think he gets the respect that he deserves, frankly. Best of the century, I'm not ready to say that. But if Watch Mojo, whoever that is, wants to say that, then they're more than welcome to say that. I don't know who the fuck that is. But I like the Pastel Palace, though. See, I was calling it... What was the name that we came up with for it? It was something with Nickelodeon. I'd come up with a name for it. But Pastel Palace is a pretty good one. Food High. Baby Solomonster was a brat. Baby Solomonster, that's the new $45 one. With audio, by the way. He was a brat. He was a little bastard. Boots, $5 super chat. I recently watched Alien Ant Farm's music video for Smooth Criminal. Those ring ropes were way too loose. You can't tope through them. I don't know if I've ever seen the video. I love their cover of the song. I don't know that I've ever seen the video for it, though. Dried chicken without flavor in 2022... I predict that Jay White will become the Impact World Champion. Well, since he's not appearing in fucking New Japan anytime soon, I saw he's about to make his comeback to Impact. He may as well. Doesn't seem like he's going back to New Japan anytime soon. Food Hive, the image of you on a pole. LOL, stripper Solomonster. I still have the photo somewhere. Biblical Adrian, have you been to the St. Vitus Bar in Brooklyn? No, I have not. Foreign Object. $5 Super Chat. So if Cody Rhodes beats interim TNT champion Sammy Guevara, does that make him a 4-time TNT champion? Is Sammy currently a 2-time champion? This is why the whole interim thing was so fucking dumb. And I hate that they did it. Thank you, Marco. Another one of our new super chats there. Poor Mad Cat Moss. Look at that. Boom! That was a hell of a shot by Kofi Kingston, I will say. I mean, he hit the target perfectly there. Yeah, I don't know. I would say yes, that now he's going to be a four-time TNT champion. I don't know how they're going to work that as far as the title lineage is concerned. It's all confusing. I'm sure they'll try to explain it. But I mean, he's back after a week. You know, I mean, I know the show is called Battle of the Belts. We had one match announced for Battle of the Belts up until like four or five days before the show. They should have given it a little more thought. It didn't seem like there was a whole lot of thought put into what they were going to do on that show. But we did not need an interim title. Thomas, what are your thoughts on Corey Graves being medically cleared? Apparently, he's been medically cleared for a couple of years. I don't know why this is news all of a sudden, unless there's internal talk maybe about him making an appearance in the Royal Rumble. You know, we've had announcers do that before where they pop into the match and then they get quickly eliminated. But my understanding is that he's been cleared since 2020. This is not really anything new. If he wants to wrestle again, then hey, more power to him. I can't say that I'm excited to get Corey Graves back in the ring. I'm completely indifferent. I don't care either way. I think he's got a good, cushy gig as an announcer. I wouldn't leave that if I were him. But look, I'm sure he sees all these other people getting cleared after being gone for so long. Edge and Brian, Christian. And he's like, well, what about me? You know, because he had, like Christian, he had concussion issues. That's why he had to retire. So if he's cleared to come back and he wants to do some wrestling here and there, I thought that's fine. But I don't know. I don't see a full-time Corey Graves return to the ring. Hulkling 93. If Tanahashi has the high five, it's the high fly flow, by the way. The high fly flow, then Montez has the high five swag. I like that. The high five. I think he actually thinks it's called high five. Hulkling, do you think it's called high five flow? That's hilarious. Dr. NXT Scorpio, $7. I used to be high on private. I thought this was going somewhere else. Because I used to be high. I used to be high on private party when I saw them on AEW for the first time. And when they beat the Bucks, I thought they could be a top team in the division. It's sad where they are right now. Drew Johnson, long live HBK the GOAT. Thank you, Drew. Dry chicken without flavor, $5 super chat. In 2022, I predict that Serena Deeb will generate a lot of buzz in the wrestling world and will have AEW gold around her waist. Marco Roman, oh my god, is that Solo Monster? Are you playing off the Private Party theme song? Oh my god, is that Solo Monster? It's going to be the opening of my theme music. Paul Heyman. I thought last Sunday's podcast was going to be a pity party for Vince McMahon's son, Paul. Well, you guessed wrong. You guessed wrong. I got quite a response. There it is again. There it is again. French fry slut with the $2. Here, have some money. Look at this. Boom! I love that super chat. Wasted. Kofi Kingston, the expert marksman. Yeah, I got a lot of response to the whole Triple H NXT segment that I did, and for as many people as listen to it on the podcast, I think that clip on the YouTube channel has 20-something thousand views. Hundreds of comments. A lot of opinions about what's going on with Triple H. But a pity party, you will not see me throwing a pity party for Triple H. I actually think it's kind of comical how everybody is all of a sudden, after all the years and all the stories about the shit behind the scenes, and all the politics and the political bullshit. Oh, poor Triple H. Poor Triple H. This poor guy. What's he going to do? What's Triple H going to do? Triple H is going to be just fine. Feel badly for all the other people and the talent that got fucked, who will never have the career that Triple H had. They've never had the Hall of Fame career and may never have the Hall of Fame career because in a lot of cases, WWE... fuck them creatively. Those are the people that you should feel sorry for, the ones who will never have a Triple H career because of how badly they were botched in WWE, because they never had the chance to have the kind of career that Triple H had. Nobody can take away the career that Triple H has had. Future Hall of Famer, 13-time world champion, or 14, I lost track. I get him and Charlotte Flair mixed up. I don't know where they're at this point. I think it's 13 for Triple H, I believe. Maybe it's 14. Oh, poor Triple H. Poor Triple H. He'll be fine. Ed Weber. All the Forbidden Door talk has people hoping for an AEW star in the Rumble. What are the odds of Jericho? DBD. And does it really even benefit AEW? There will not be an AEW star in the Royal Rumble. I don't know where this got started. This is crazy. Crazy talk. There will not be an AEW star in the Royal Rumble. French Fry Slut, again, thank you for the $2. And Drew Johnson dropping $50 on the stream with his own knock-knock joke. There's another one not to feel sorry for, by the way. There's Vince. Look at Vince in the background there. Taking that deep breath. Another one not to feel sorry for. Drew says, I guess... I got ahead of myself here. Knock, knock, he says. Knock, knock. Who's there? It's Brett. It's Bret Hart. Asking Shawn Michaels for his manhood back. Boy, you keep talking about Brett. He's going to show up at your doorstep. And he's going to take some of that dungeon training out on you. Thank you, Drew. Is it 14? All right, I'm being told it's 14 titles for Triple H. Oh, poor Triple H. He's only had 14 titles. He could have had 15. Food Hive, can you give the channel members a preview for January? Food Hive, thank you for the $1.99. Yeah, boy, let me tell you, last week was crazy. Oh, I stream. How many streams were there last week? Five streams, the podcast. And then there was something else I've been working on, plus the House of Glory prep. So earlier I was working on some more retro audio stuff. That's for the Legends tier members. So episode 13 and 14 are coming soon. Those are the podcasts I did in 2008. Can't find them anywhere else. That's for the higher tier. We're going to be doing another members-only Q&A soon. We're going to be doing more members-only call-in shows. We did our pilot last week. That was for Better Call Saul, the new call-in show. That's going to be a members-only thing. I'm debating if it's going to be members-only, period, or just members-only when we do the calls. And then maybe I release it to everybody a week later or something. I'm still trying to figure that out. So that's some of the content. And actually, I was trying to think of something that I haven't decided if I'm going to do this or not, but... You know, next Wednesday is January 19th. And next Wednesday is the 30-year anniversary of the 1992 Royal Rumble, the greatest Royal Rumble of all. So I was debating something. I'll probably talk about it on the podcast this weekend, but I was debating a watch-along maybe. I don't know what the interest level would be in that. It would be like a daytime thing. You know, it's an hour-long Rumble. You do an hour-long watch-along. I'm debating different potential ideas that tie into that as well. So stay tuned, my friend. Food Hive. I miss Bert Hurt and Captain Planet. Yeah, they haven't been around recently, have they, in the chat? Hulkling93. I didn't forget about you. I guess like you referred to Wale's name wrong, I refer to Tanahashi's move wrong. High fly flow. Yeah, I used to, many, many years ago on the podcast, when I wasn't familiar with Wale, I called him Whale. and I was mocked mercilessly for doing so. So I learned very quickly it was Wale and not Whale. I said, who is this Whale guy that people keep telling me about? And then who knew? Years later, I'm getting DMs and I'm talking to Wale and we're talking about wrestling. And I go to one of his shows and now I love Wale. But before he was Wale, he was Whale to me. Skywalker, thank you for the $9.99. Speaking of the WWE Hall of Fame, what's the future of the Hall if more wrestlers flee to AEW and other promotions, establishing careers in those companies? There's always going to be names they could put in, and I don't even know that them going to an AEW or something is going to matter to WWE. They'll work out a deal where they can get them to come in for the Hall of Fame. They did that with Impact when they wanted Ric Flair for the Horseman induction. That's why they sent Christian to show up that one time at their pay-per-view. So I don't think that that really is going to affect the Hall of Fame at all. At some point, they're going to run out of big names, but that's years from now. Because they still have, you know, Big Show and Triple H and The Rock and John Cena and Randy Orton. And there's plenty of names. Undertaker. You know. What they have to do is not put so many in at once or else they're going to burn out all the names. But thank you, Skywalker. Don't call me Luke. EJ Slemp, $4.99. You don't think WWE is stupid enough to make Nick Khan an on-screen character, do you? I don't think they're stupid. I think they're plenty stupid to do a lot of things. I haven't given that much thought. I don't think they're going to do it, but are they stupid enough to do it? Absolutely. They're fucking imbeciles. Drew Johnson, Solomonster, you're the man. So are you, Drew. So are you, my friend. Wale the Whale sounds like a mob character that is obese. It sounds like a children's book character. Wale the Whale. It's like Hardy the Horse, like my mom's story. If I ever decide to write a sequel to her story, I could do Wale the Whale. Dry chicken without flavor. In 2022, I predict the Mets will have a winning record, but they will not make the playoffs. So what a bold prediction that is. Well, you're really going out on a limb now, aren't you, Dry Chicken? That better not be the last super chat that comes in, insulting my Mets. Only I can do that. See what's going on here in the chat. Marcus Robinson says, the sequel to Hardy the Horse. Well, you never know. There could be. For those who have no idea what that is, Hardy the Horse, the adventure of Hardy the Horse, is a children's story my mother wrote many years ago. I got it published posthumously after she passed away. And it's up on Amazon right now, in fact. And I know a lot of you guys actually purchased a copy when it first came out, which meant a lot to me. So we were just talking about the possibility of there being a sequel at some point to The Adventure of Hardy the Horse, and whether or not it would be Hardy or it would be a completely different character. I haven't decided yet. We shall see. Food Hive says, you upgraded from cereal every night to Chinese. Yes, in fact, I'll be having Chinese tomorrow night. Usually Chinese is a Friday night, but since I will be at the House of Glory show, I will not be having dinner. I will be bringing my dinner in a baggie, which will probably be pretzels. So I will be having dinner tomorrow night, and we will be doing Chinese here in this apartment. Paul Heyman. With this Andrade and Darby feud, are we getting Charlotte's dad against Darby's dad? Oh, God. I hope not. You know, I gotta tell you, Ric Flair has turned into, as much as I love the 92 Rumble and, you know, Flair is a legend and all that, but God, he is fucking pathetic these days. He is just going on and on and on. I mean, Becky Lynch is living rent-free in this guy's head. The tweets, and then he deletes them, and then he goes on his show, and he complains about she calls herself the man. Meanwhile, they're not even calling her the man anymore. They're calling her Big Time Bex. They're getting away from the man name. And he won't shut up about it. That's my name. I worked hard for that name. The fuck is he talking about? This woman is living rent-free in this guy's head. I think when he goes to bed at night, usually he's thinking about other women. Now he's thinking about Becky. He wakes up in a cold sweat in the middle of the... I mean, at his age, he probably wakes up in a cold sweat anyway. But he wakes up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night. And he sees images of this woman. And the little goats that she has on her jacket now when she comes out. And it's like it's haunting him or something. The man. It's pathetic. Failed star, no. They're mine. Those belts are mine. Groovy Goose just wanted to send some love. Thank you for the $1.99. I appreciate that. Drew Johnson, orange chicken with white rice. Very good. I don't usually do the orange chicken, but I have done the sesame chicken, which is terrible for you, but oh my God. Which reminds me, maybe I ought to consider doing that tomorrow. I haven't had sesame chicken in years. Samoan Fan 101, have you seen The Sandlot? No, I have not. I'm currently watching a show. This is Bobby Lashley. Let's match up the super chat with me. There you go. what was I going to say? I'm in the middle of watching, now that I finished Squid Game, and I love Squid Game so much, came up in my Netflix recommended to watch a similar type of show. I am watching Alice in Borderland. I'm about halfway through. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it so far. James Cooper with the $4.99. What is the best match you have ever personally seen, and what is your favorite match to go back and watch? It's impossible for me to say. I can't sit here and tell you the best. I've seen so many great matches. You know, Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker is my favorite WrestleMania match, but, you know, we were just talking about the 92 Rumble. You know, I love that match. I also love Bret Hart and Steve Austin at WrestleMania. I love Shawn Michaels and Undertaker in the first Hell in a Cell. It's hard for me to, I think, sit here and narrow it down to just one, to condense it to just one ever. I have a whole bunch of them. You know, those are some of the ones right there. But honestly, if you put me on the spot and said, hey, gun to head, pick one match that you has great replay value that you can just pick up and watch at any time, and it puts a smile on my face. Honestly, it probably is the 92 Rumble. And it's not even that, like, the Rumble itself was some kind of outstanding wrestling endeavor. It's just, it's everything about it, down to the commentary. It puts me in my happy place. I don't know how to explain it beyond, you know, better than that. If I had to pick just one that I can never watch another wrestling match ever again, and I'm in a hole somewhere with a little VCR and a tape, and I got one match I can watch, it's probably that one. Beowulf says the best, I've never been to Hawaii, but I do hear that, anyway. Jared M. I miss Drew. Drew Johnson, going to see Scream on Saturday, holding out hope they bring back Stu. Yeah, I was hoping, I really wanted to see Scream, but I thought it was also streaming. I didn't know it was just in theaters only, so I'm not seeing it. It'll probably be a while before I see it, but anyway, Jared M, prediction on Kim's fate in season 6 on Better Call Saul. I have a very bad feeling about Kim's fate on Better Call Saul, just because it's a prequel series and there was no Kim on Breaking Bad. Now, that doesn't mean that she's, you know, that doesn't mean that she's no longer with us. You know, when the events of Breaking Bad happened, it just means that she was never mentioned or featured on the show. But I don't know. I have a very bad feeling about her fate. EJ says, Solomonster loves the 92 Rumble more than Tony Khan loves turning off the lights at shows. I don't know. It's pretty close. I'd say it's pretty close between the two. There's some other Korean series on Netflix. I just forgot the name of it. I'm going to start that after I finish Alice in Borderland. It's a little bit different. It's about, I wish I remember the name. It's a show about a woman who I think sees her father murdered and she goes undercover or something. It's like, I think it's a Korean language show. All the shows I'm watching now, honestly, or the majority of them, are foreign language shows. Like, I have to catch up with Money Heist and Dark. I never finished the seasons there. And, like, one's Spanish, one's German, you know, and I watch them all with the English subtitles in their native language. I just watched, you know, I finished Squid Game. That was in Korean. I'm watching this other show. That's in Japanese. It's like, I'm watching. It's great, though. These are all great shows, you know. Imagine people who don't like watching foreign shows, all the great shows they're missing out on. But I'd say 95% of the shows I'm watching right now are foreign language shows. And they're fucking great. I love it. Dry Chicken in 2022. I predict Terminus, GCW, and Hog will generate strong buzz in the wrestling world. Hey, brother, Hog is already generating strong buzz in the wrestling world. Where have you been? That buzz is only going to get even higher. I think that's a very accurate prediction. Have I watched Train to Busan? I have. I watched that a couple of years ago. I enjoyed it. Old Boy? I've never heard of Old Boy. Is that worth watching? Is that a movie or is that a TV show? Food Hive. Watch Cowboy Bebop. The anime, not live. I don't watch anime. I don't do anime. I tried. Somebody told me to go watch the anime that inspired Squid Game. I started watching it. I'm not an anime guy. I need my live action. Dr. NXT Scorpio, nice to see a fellow foreign show watcher, though we have different tastes, LOL. I know what you like, Dr. NXT. He likes the romantic stuff, all the cheesy, girly type stuff, you know, that make like the tear jerkers and stuff. You sit at home all day and probably watch The Bridges of Madison County. That's not me. I need my thrillers and my horrors and That's more along the lines of what I watch. Is the Seth frickin' Rollins this annoying and Yeah, it is actually. They've officially added frickin' or freakin', whatever the fuck. Fucking Seth fucking Rollins to his name. It is now officially part of his name. Go to WWE.com. It says Seth freakin' Rollins. They couldn't shut up about it on Monday night. Every 2 seconds, Seth freakin' Rollins. I swear to God, there was a point in the match with Seth Rollins and Big E where I think they were brawling by the announce desk, and I think it was Jimmy Smith said, I got Seth freaking Rollins sweat on me. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? What, do they get like 10 lashes or something from Vince McMahon when they get to the back if they forget to say the word freaking? Everything on that show, it's so overproduced. Nobody talks like that. If that's the guy's nickname, I got no problem with that. But why does it have to be part of his name where you have to say it every 5 seconds? One of the biggest fucking pet peeves I have about WWE today. Everything is a buzzword. Everything is so fucking overproduced. They drive it into the ground. Oh my God. Everything is so fucking forced. Just stop already. Hey, Anthony Lucero just subscribed. I promise I'm not always this angry. Although people tend to like me more when I'm angry for some reason. Near, what's going on, Near? Near Ruff. Chemo 3 went well. Much love, brothers. Well, I'm happy to hear that. Everyone show some love for Near. Kicking cancer's ass here in 2022. As I told him, this is the year that he beats cancer into submission. This is the year that cancer taps out to Near. Not the other way around. Half the stars lose their last name, the other half get a new middle name. It's not even that. It's the forced phrases and names, and that you have to say it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. It's just so uncool. I think that's really what it boils down to. There's just nothing cool When Brock and Lashley were on screen on Monday, that was cool. There is nothing else that is cool at all about WWE. Didn't used to be like that. It used to be very cool. But once they started overproducing everything and everything is just a corporate buzzword and let's drive it into the ground and get people, you know, burn it into their brains, they go overboard with it. Ed Weber says Michael Cole has never been cool. Well, that is undoubtedly true. You didn't think Michael Cole was cool back when he first started and he had the blonde frosted tips in his hair? Dry Chicken, this is the last one. In 2022, I predict Tanahashi will have a crimson mask when he faces either Moxley or Lance Archer in AEW. Gyro Splater says Sasha Banks is cool. I agree. Sasha Banks is always cool. Anthony Perks, with Hangman Page beating Danielson and you having MJF beating Punk, who should beat Adam Cole first? I haven't thought that far ahead. I don't think Adam Cole should be losing for a while either. First one to beat Adam Cole could very well be somebody who's not even in AEW right now. We were just talking about Johnny Gargano coming in, right? And there could be others. Maybe it's someone like Gargano. Maybe it's someone like Keith Lee. Funny enough, who Cole was possibly going to manage. The idea was pitched for him to manage Keith Lee. Wouldn't it be funny if they brought in Keith Lee and made him Adam Cole's manager? I mean, anything's possible. Anything's possible. Drew says, Nier, you're the man. See, now Drew is sending a message to Nier. Message received. Dr. NXT Scorpio, any foreign show would you recommend I should try to watch? And yes, I watch those cheesy romantic foreign dramas sometimes. Sue me. Sit at home watching Steel Magnolias, Fried Green Tomatoes, The Notebook. Not that I would know about any of these movies. A lot of the foreign shows I just mentioned to you. Money Heist is a great one. Dark is very confusing, but I just love the vibe of that show. It's hard for me to even explain to you what it is. It's a German show. It's only had 3 seasons, but Dark, Money Heist, Narcos, if you're into, you know, those types of crime shows, Narcos Mexico. I'm trying to think of other ones that I've watched recently. There's been a few other ones. I'm trying to think of what they were. I was talking about Squid Game. It really depends on what you're into. What kind of show are you into? Action, comedy. It's not really comedy. So I'm not really into those comedic type of... There's no comedic foreign shows anyway. A lot of them are more thriller, horror type shows. Maybe even a little sci-fi in there. Naif Al-Safar, $9.99. Super chat. Shout out to Abbas from Iraq. We found out that we are in the same WhatsApp group together when he asked who's listening to Solomonster, and I was the one who answered him. Holy shit. What are the chances of that? That's awesome. I love how the Sound Off brings people together. I love it. From all over the world. It's a shout out to Abbas from Iraq, who I'm sure is either listening or will listen to this or watch this. And thank you to Naif. How about The Wire, says Devin from NJ2000. Well, that's not a foreign show, but yes, I am watching The Wire. I am enjoying it so far. My brother insists to me that has always insisted The Wire is the greatest show ever made. And for years I said, you're out of your mind. The greatest shows ever made, in terms of like dramas, are The Sopranos, in no particular order. The Sopranos, The Shield, and Breaking Bad. He goes, no, The Wire is in there. The Wire. That's all he wouldn't shut up about it. The Wire. So I finally caved and I'm watching The Wire. I'm only on season two, which is weird. I don't want to get into any, because now the guy's on a boat and it's like, what? But anyway, I'm enjoying it, but I still wouldn't say it cracks that top three. Now there's still a few seasons left. Maybe that'll change, but it's good. You know, it's good. I'm enjoying it so far. Have I ever watched White Chicks? No, but I've dated a few. Hulkling 93, speaking of anger, who do you get the Solemn Monster glare from, Mama Monster or Dad? I used to get the glare from both. You didn't want to see that glare. But I used to get it from both. Drew Johnson with the $5 says, your brother is correct. Well, we'll see. We'll see. We have a few seasons left. You know, season one was really good, and it was, you know, based around, they were in the, you know, the projects and the towers and everything with all the drug deals going on. And all of a sudden, you know, this cop is on a boat. It's turned into Striking Distance. Anybody know? Remember that movie, Striking Distance? This awful movie that Bruce Willis did in like 1993, where he was like a maritime officer or something. And I used to kind of like that movie, but it really is not a very good movie. He's like a boat cop. All of a sudden, I didn't expect The Wire to turn into a boat cop show, but here we are. Like, what happened here? Food Hive says The Rain is a Danish show and Glitch is Australian on Netflix. Interesting. Well, what are they about, though? What are they about? I've never heard of those before. Food Hive, The Rain is a chemical in the rain that kills whatever alive it touches, so you have to survive around it, trying to live in a world avoiding rain. Interesting concept. The Solemn Monster do Disney movies. You know, I've seen like Lion King and all the old ones. No new ones though. Like I'm not watching Frozen. You know, my friend's daughter loves Frozen. Absolutely loves Frozen and the girl, the doll, what's the main character in Frozen? What's the name of the character in Frozen? The main one, the woman. The girl. What's her name? Lillian or something? What is the main character in Frozen? I feel like it's with an L. Lillian. Lola. Someone has to help me out here. Elsa. I said there was an L in there somewhere. Elsa. Boy, here come all the Elsa messages now. Yeah, I actually bought an Elsa doll for his daughter's birthday a couple of years ago. I was on Amazon and I was looking for Frozen stuff, and I had to find this Elsa doll, and it's very detailed and everything. And yeah, she went wild for it. But I've never seen the movies. I would imagine that if I had a daughter, I would be watching Frozen about 16,000 fucking times. But no, I haven't seen any of the more recent ones. Toy Story, as far as like animated movies that I've gone to the theater to see and I love the Toy Story movies. The original was the best. I love the Toy Story films. I've seen all of them. All four of them I've seen. Toy Story, I love. Drew Johnson, watch a few movies, take a few notes. It was fun. Food Hive says, Glitch is about 6 to 8 people coming from the grave years after death in perfect health. In this small town, they have to readapt. Boy, you watch some weird-ass shows, Food Hive. I must say, you watch some weird-ass shows. Juan says, I cried for Toy Story 4. There's no shame in crying for Toy Story. It tugs at the heartstrings. There are some emotional moments in those Toy Story movies. Near, with the super chat. Don't stop believing in peace in the Middle East. Remember what Urkel used to say on Family Matters. Peace in the Middle East, reign in Spain. I don't know why I remember that. Shout out to Bob Saget, by the way. Very sad story this week. Very sad. Shrek is the greatest trilogy ever, according to Foodha. I did see the original Shrek. If there were more than one, I guess there were two more. I didn't see the other two. All right, well, while you guys talk about your movies, I want to make sure we don't forget to end with the main event here on the stream. You guys know what that is.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
It is Be the Booker time here on your AEW Dynamite stream. Chris Manson showing up tonight, dropping $5. Have you watched Little Shop of Horrors? Great musical. I have seen, is that the one with, am I thinking of the right one? With Rick Moranis? Was that Little Shop of Horrors, or am I thinking of a different one? Because if I am thinking of the right one, then yes, I've seen the movie. And Drew Johnson, in the spirit of Bulu, keep or delete, Sonny 97 or Stephanie McMahon 02. Sonny was the most downloaded personality on America Online back in the day, I'll have you know. And more than a few of those downloads were from yours truly. Sunny from that period is tough to beat. She was a definite crush for me back in the day. But anyway, enough of this. Keep it in your pants, everybody, as we do Be the Booker. And we try to book ourselves a WrestleMania main event here on the stream. We had a pretty interesting one last week. We had Bret Hart and Brody Lee, which is one that I had never thought about before. And speaking of Bret Hart, there's that super chat, Owen kicking Bret's leg out of his leg. Thank you for the $3, Dry Chicken. He says Total Recall remake is mid. I didn't even know they remade it. Why do they insist on remaking movies that are already great and don't have to be remade? They did that with RoboCop. If you're going to remake a movie, remake a shitty one and make it better. Anyway, let's do this. Let's pick a men's main event. We have Randy Orton with hair, which is kind of unnerving in this picture. He's got hair on his head, but we got Randy Orton. Randy Orton has been in the WrestleMania main event before, so it's a place that he is very familiar with. Randy Orton will be going one-on-one with CM Punk. In fact, Randy Orton and CM Punk once had a WrestleMania main event. I'm sorry, not a main event. What am I talking about? They had a match. WrestleMania 27. It was not the main event. I'm sure CM Punk would love to have the WrestleMania main event. CM Punk and Randy Orton in the WrestleMania main event. I call that a winner. We got ourselves a winner with the men this week, as we did last week. Usually where things end up going sour is with the ladies. Gianluca Delle Fave just subscribed to the channel. I said that in a very sensuous French way. So let's try it with the ladies here and hope that we have better luck. We've been having absolute shit luck with the women here. What else is new? But let's do this. Let's do this. Let's see what we end up with here. This will be very interesting. Oh, for God. Oh, Jesus Christ. There's no point. There's just no point. The minute it lands on Rosa Mendez, it's over. Should I try again? Should we give it another shot? Should we rebook the match? All right, Rosa Mendez is taken out of the WrestleMania main event due to COVID protocol. She was exposed to a potential person who had COVID. We'll take her out of the match. We'll give this one more shot. Give this one more chance here. We've got Marina Shafir. All right. I already see where this is going. And Marina Shafir one-on-one in the WrestleMania main event against Becky Lynch. So interesting, we get horsewoman against horsewoman. One member of the WWE horsewomen against one member of Ronda Rousey's horsewomen faction. But as a WrestleMania main event... that don't work for me, brother. Sorry. That ain't no winner for me. But Randy Orton and CM Punk, I feel like we got ourselves a pretty decent WrestleMania main event there. Groovy Goose, Mets are retiring Keith Hernandez's number, by the way. I heard about that. It's about time. It's about time. Should retire his mustache, too. Put a little mustache up there on the uniform. Juan Sanchez, buy or sell on better G1 finals. Cena against Omega, Bobby versus Adam Page, Moxley versus Archer. John Cena in the G1 finals? That just sounds wrong. Food Hive says, I gave that woman COVID. It was just an example. I didn't give her anything. I'm clean. I mean, just based on the options you gave me here, I guess I would go with Cena and Omega. Anyway. D. Gibbs, do I still talk to Damian Nelson and the PWR crew? I keep in touch with them, yeah. You know, Damian's kind of doing his thing, and Dave Hero just booked a huge independent show, actually. I guess it was last month, the Blizzard Brawl. So I keep up with them on social media. I enjoyed doing the shows with those guys, being part of the PWR family there for a while. It was a lot of fun. And you know, Damian, God, I mean, he goes back, God knows how many years, you know, doing that show. So it was very cool to be a part of that for a while. And Drew Johnson, thank you for the $5. You're wrong, but I appreciate the support nonetheless. You know, Bret Hart, it's funny to me, you know, you talk about Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart. When I think of the two best WrestleMania matches of all time, the funny thing is, Bret is in one and Shawn is in the other. So, they were both great at what they did. Bret and Austin WrestleMania 13, one of the best matches in the history of that company. Shawn and Undertaker is my favorite WrestleMania match of all time. So, there's room to love both. Mr. Dynamite says, Rosa Mendez is the Nia Jax of these segments. Rosa is crying somewhere, says TD. Oh, boy. Yeah, Rosa Mendez in the ring was no good. No good. Neither is Omos. Nier says, remind me, what is... Near 316 says, I just kicked cancer's ass. Crack open a Steve Weiser and celebrate. And finally here, we'll end with this. Food High, $4.99. Ever since y'all taught me that don't work for me, brother, I use it every day and I laugh every single time. I use it every day too. I use it every day, too. Somebody tells me something I don't like. They want me to do something I don't want to do. That don't work for me, brother. There's a use for it in everyday life. Armed Anderson. There it is on the screen. Food Hype, thank you for that super chat. All right, this has been fun. I've had a lot of fun, as I always do, hanging out with you guys. Amiibo, that's a little creepy. Don't be drinking anybody's bathwater now. But on that note, I'm going to be back with you probably live, not until next Wednesday. So next Wednesday, the next episode of Dynamite, I'll be back live. Friday night is the House of Glory show. Again, I'll put this up on the screen. We are doing a women's tournament. And I wanted you guys to give me your answers about who you think is going to walk away with the House of Glory Women's Championship. It will be one of these eight ladies. And I will be on the call doing commentary on Friday night. I believe this, it should be airing on Fight TV. I went to go look for the ordering page. I was going to put it up on screen, and they don't have anything up yet. But I believe it's supposed to be airing on Fight. But in any event, it'll be live at the NYC Arena. That's where I'll be on Friday night, so I will not be streaming. But I will be back with you for the podcast this Sunday. That'll be episode 739. And, of course, the Dynamite stream back here, as always, next Wednesday night. So, until then, be well, stay safe. Thank you for keeping me company tonight and making me laugh. It's a crazy, crazy world. At least we can always hang out here and laugh together. Juan is no fan of Jordan Grace, and Mr. Dynamite thinks that Deonna Purrazzo is going to walk out with the House of Glory Women's Championship. Well, we shall see. We shall find out. All right, guys, I'm out of here. Have a good night, and I'll see you back here for more live sound off on YouTube next Wednesday. Until then, take care, guys.